Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning, and what a blessing it's already been just being in this place. We pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge for not only our church members, but for anyone who would come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. And the first and foremost, we want everyone to sense the presence of God in this place and then be ministered to through the music and then through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And I believe up to this point, God has honored all of those things. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be reading verse 13 down to verse 17. Matthew chapter 16. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. Thank you for giving each one that's here that opportunity to make the decision to come. As we have assembled here together, we just continue to pray, God, that you'd meet with us and fill this auditorium with thy glory. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach a message to you this morning based on what we've read here in the scriptures. Simply, whom say ye that Jesus is? Whom say ye that Jesus is? Can I tell you that everyone at some point will have to answer for themselves this question? And we need to know that your eternal destiny will be determined by your answer. Heaven and hell is based upon what people do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it begins, first of all, by who you think he is. Jesus asked two questions here in the passage of Scripture that we just read. In verse 13, his first question was when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, now this is asking his disciples, whom do men? You've been out and about and you've heard what others are saying. And so, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked his disciples what they had heard others say about who he was. What do others believe? We live in a world today that, my goodness, there is all an assortment of beliefs concerning the person of Jesus Christ. Many believe what they've been taught. Either how they've been raised and how they have been taught by their parents concerning who Jesus Christ is, or what they have been taught by the church that they might attend. See, some who claim to be Christians today place others on equal ground with Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I was out just knocking on some doors and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I remember talking to this one retired priest, and he allowed me to go through the entire plan of salvation. I revealed to him what the Bible says about understanding, first of all, how that we're all sinners, and how the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I revealed to him all the things that the Bible has to tell us concerning salvation. And I got down to the place where after I've explained it all to him, it was time for him to believe it or not. And if he believed that, then he could ask Jesus Christ to come in his heart. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I remember asking him that and sharing that verse 13 with him, chapter 10, verse 13. And he looked at me and I could somewhat see him somewhat tearing up, I believe. And he said this, he says, I wish I could believe that, but it's not what the church teaches. And I said, how sad. You're letting the church, whatever type of denominational church that might be, and there's a different denomination, a different philosophy on every church, on every street corner, just about. America's filled with so-called churches, but not all of them have the truth. What have others believed? What have they been taught? You believe what you've been taught concerning the person of Jesus Christ? What have they read? Sometimes we just say, oh, I'm going to read all I can read. I'm going to determine based on what I've read. And I ask you this morning, what have others read? Possibly that's what he's asking the disciples. What have they been taught? What have they read? What have others said to them? Now, if you do this, and most people will do this, if you ask Siri, she'll say, this is what I found. And she'll pull up something, and what you'll read, it'll say, a Jewish preacher and religious leader who is a central figure of Christianity. Yeah. So he's just a preacher. He's a Jewish preacher and religious leader. Saying some pretty good things. I mean, I would imagine if he's called Jesus Christ and Christianity, understanding that's Christ-like. So even just in common sense, if you call it Christianity, and you would say, well, Jesus then would have to be the central figure of what we call Christianity today. And so I believe that's who he is. Some would say, I believe he's the central figure of Christianity. What others believed based on what they had observed and possibly what they had been taught. First of all, they said in verse 14, this is their answer. This is what the disciples come back with Jesus and say, well, this is what they tell us. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Now, if they really would have thought about this, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ were just about the same age. And so, but they say, well, in their minds, they're thinking, well, Jesus, he's speaking the very same, preaching the very same message as this John the Baptist. So they must be twins. Or they must be related somehow, because people will say, well, this man is preaching the same thing as John the Baptist, so somehow they're related. And so the disciples are telling Jesus that many of them out there just believe that you're another John the Baptist. Based on the message they're hearing, we've heard that before. We've heard John say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when Jesus came, the first message that he preached publicly was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he must be the same. And then they said that, well, no, some believe that. Others have determined that this man is Elias or Elijah. He's another Elijah, a powerful preacher and a miracle worker. Elijah was known by the Jews as a powerful preacher of the Old Testament prophets. And not only that, he was a miracle worker. And those that have observed Jesus Christ cannot help but think, what a powerful preacher. When he preaches, I mean, everyone listens. There's something about his voice. There's something about how he's able to present the truths, the message that he wants to present. And how can you deny the fact that he has performed many miracles?
We're not denying that he has been able to do some things that we haven't seen other people do. And so we can't deny that he is a miracle worker and that he is a powerful preacher. And so he must be somewhat like, and what we have to compare him with is the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament. So it's another prophet like Elijah was, a powerful preacher and a miracle worker. And that's what I believe. That's who I believe he is. And others would say, and they've heard this, and this is what others believed about who Jesus was. And others would say, no, I believe that he would be like Jeremiah, because I've seen him weep. I've seen the compassion that this man has. And so this is a man that had all this other, but I see in what reveals to me as far as who this person is, he's a compassionate person. And so he has to be like another prophet, Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. And so they're saying, and they're trying to compare with what they've heard and what they've seen, what others have said, what they've read in the Old Testament. And they say, no, this is like a prophet Jeremiah. Or if he's not Jeremiah, if he's not like him, he's as one of the other prophets of the Old Testament. That's who he is. Even when Jesus met with Nicodemus in John in chapter 3, a religious Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, he came to Jesus by night and he said, I know that thou art a teacher come from God. You have some wisdom here, and what you've been teaching, it makes some sense. And so I know that you're a teacher who God has sent. That's who I believe you are. And Nicodemus was lost. Nicodemus was a lost religious leader because he just seen Jesus as being a teacher come from God. And others there that believed that he was just kin to John the Baptist, they would have been lost. Those that think that he was another Elijah, they would have been lost. Those that believed that he was a Jeremiah because he had compassion, though, they would have been lost. Because you cannot just believe that Jesus is a good man. History itself is undeniable that he impacted the world like no other man that's ever been born. For some 2,000 years since him, we have the Christian calendar based upon his coming. We have a date that's coming up here in just a couple of weeks, a day that we put on our calendar, Christmas, which was known as a day that we acknowledge the birth of Christ. And later on, you'll find a date that is known as as Easter, as a day that we set aside as a resurrection. So there's no doubt that he has impacted humanity. He has impacted the world. He has ushered in this idea of Christianity. But even Christianity, just believing he is a good man, believing that he was a change maker, he was a great prophet, whatever you might think, if that's all you think about Jesus Christ and who he is, you're lost. Believing he was just some exceptional human being will not get you to heaven. Even believing he was the greatest prophet ever to walk on the world, but still just a teacher come from God, will not be enough to get you to heaven. And so you ask him, first of all, and he's asking his disciples, he's wanting them to understand this, because when he leaves, they will be in charge of taking the gospel into all the world. And they'll be the first ones after the apostolic age to disciple those who would, again, be scattered abroad to take the gospel, to make an impact on the world. And so who does others think I, the Son of God, am? They have all these different thoughts. But I wondered this morning, I want you to answer that. Who do you think? Whom say ye that Jesus is? Do you have to think about what everybody else has said? What you've been taught? Maybe what you've read. And you've based it upon what other people say, what the church has taught, how you've been raised, maybe even what you've read yourself. I'm glad they didn't stop with that question. Because then he asked the second question, verse 15. Then he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You have all these others to choose from. You have all these other philosophies, and you have all these other thoughts, and you have these things you can read, and you can all. What have you determined yourself? What do you believe? Can I tell you, you better be careful not just to repeat words. Because that's based upon what you've heard. You better be careful to base it upon what you have decided to believe yourself based on what you've read. Maybe based upon your experience in going to churches. Well, I've tried the Methodist, and I've tried the Pentecostal, and I've tried the Christian, and I tried this denomination, I've tried that denomination, and I'm finally checking out, seeing what this independent Baptist movement is all about. You've already might be a little surprised by being in this service. It might be different than anything else you've ever been in. I don't know. But whom say ye that Jesus is? That's the most important question. And I would ask you, what has God revealed to you? Look at verse 16 and 17. Because Simon spoke up. He was a spokesperson for the apostles. And he spoke up and he said this. He says, the answer and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Because he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. It's basically because flesh and blood will never reveal it unto you. Philosophies of man will never reveal the truth to you. Religion will never reveal the truth to you. But my Father, which is in heaven. We must go beyond what man or even human logic might say about who Jesus is. You listen to the philosophies of the world, even in the Christian realm or even the religious realm, and you're going to get multiple different answers. You're going to be taught a lot of different things. And sometimes when you pick and choose what you want to read from the Bible, then you will determine your own belief based upon something that you have pulled out of context, and you have believed something that the Bible does not say. Even though you think it's what you pulled out of that Bible, but it's because you did not have the understanding to read the Bible as a whole, the Old Testament with the New Testament, as a complete, eternal Word of God. A full revelation of God's Word. It begins with Genesis and it will end with the book of Revelation. And we are not to add to or take away from it. We are just to take the very words of God that He has preserved for us, promised to preserve them for us. And we are to study it and we are to understand it. And as we study it and we understand it, then it's a Spirit of God that will speak with your spirit, His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit to help you to understand who Jesus truly is. Simon had been listening to Jesus Christ very intently. He had heard everything that He had said, and he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, based on the very teachings of Christ, based upon the words that came out of the very mouth of Jesus Christ, thou art the Christ. Because the whole time, God was revealing to him, this is Him. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We must listen to God. That is, what God has given to us first is the Bible. And that which God has given to us in this New Testament church age, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things." You study the Bible, you'll know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things. As silver and gold, you can't buy your way to heaven. From your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. It's not based upon how you were raised. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was there in the foundation. He was there in the very beginning of creation because he was God. There was nothing created that he wasn't there in creating it. Who by him do believe in God. Through Jesus Christ, you can have an understanding of who God is. Whom by him do we believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth from the spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, by something that was not written by God. By thinking that you have a salvation experience in something other than what God has revealed to us that he has determined. By something that some other man has written. They'll try to woo you in by saying, "Oh yeah, we believe the Bible." And then you start coming and you understand, but let us share with you another Bible. Let us share with you another book. And this is a book that we need to really focus on. Listen to me. No, there is no other book from God. There are no other truths that God has given to us than what God has revealed in this Bible right here. This is the full revelation that God has given to us. There are no other new revelations today. Don't let anybody tell you there are. It's complete. So not of some corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. We have the words of God that are incorruptible, preserved by God for us today, that we might know the very mind and the very thoughts of God. Incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we are to live by it, he had to preserve it for us. And we have it right here. We must listen to God. The seed of God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 1. You need to understand this. You need to know who you believe Jesus to be and why. And the thing of it is, the why is because God's told you. God's revealed it to you, not man. It's not of man's words. It's not of man's philosophy. It's of the very word of God. In Matthew in chapter 1 and verse 20, the angel speaking to Joseph concerning the pregnancy of Mary. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He is virgin born, and he is God. He is not just a teacher from God. He is God. He's not just a prophet. He is not another John the Baptist. He is God, and he is with us. Virgin born, Son of God. That's who he is. Don't lose sight of the virgin born. Because that means he didn't have a sin nature. No man that had a sin nature could pay for man's sin on Calvary's cross, because it took pure blood, sinless blood. And the only way that there could ever be sinless blood is for God to become man. Amen. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. That is what God will reveal to you. Not only did he live as God in human flesh, he died as God. God will reveal that to you as a substitutionary sacrifice. Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. I'm wanting you to let God speak to you this morning, so that when you walk out of here, you know who Jesus is based on God revealing it to you. Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says this. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Jesus Christ coming. He taketh away the first, Old Testament law, prophets. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, New Testament Christianity, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You don't continually get saved time after time. There's one salvation. There's one acceptance of Jesus Christ. And when you receive him, you are his. That's eternal security. Jesus died one time for your sins. Verse 12, it says this, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Yes. Not only did he live as God in human flesh, he died as God. Holy, sinless blood shed on Calvary's cross. And after this, after his death, realize this, he resurrected. Don't listen to the stories that you might hear, the philosophies, that it was all fake and all put on. Listen to me. He was God. He lived a sinless life. He became a substitutionary sacrifice for all humanity. And to prove that he was God, and to prove to us that there is a heaven to look forward to, he resurrected from the grave. Romans in chapter 8. Romans, we're going to close here. Romans in chapter 8. So many passages I could turn to, but Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, I think it spells it out. Romans 8, 34. The Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's been doing that for some 2,000 years now. When he resurrected, he went to the right hand of God the Father, always ever living to make intercession. Through his blood, he presents us as being justified unto God. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to God, our Heavenly Father. What a blessing. He's your intercessor today. Don't just take a man's word for it. Just don't take your mom and dad's word for it. Don't take the church's word for it. Has God revealed it to you? See, when God reveals it to you, we must move on from being curious to being committed. If you know Jesus to be who he is, then you'll be more apt to commit to it. We need to move from admiration, admiring him for what he's accomplished, how he impacted the world, to adoration. Adoring him as the very and only one, only begotten, that means one of a kind, Son of God. We need to move from thinking of his divinity to understanding his deity. He is just not a divine individual. He's much more than that. He's God. So let me ask you, whom do you say that Jesus is? If you truly want to know, if you truly want to know, God will reveal it to you. Peter, flesh and blood, your parents, church leaders, religion, philosophies, that's not how you got to know this. Peter, God has revealed it to you. And upon that faith, I'm going to build my church. Through those believing that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin, resurrected to ever live to make intercession for us. That's who Jesus truly is. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Whom say ye? Don't leave here this morning without confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never believed Jesus to be the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the only way that you can go to heaven, if you've never fallen on your face and cried out and accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, knowing who he is, not just religion, knowing who he is, oh, you need to do that today. Because the Bible does say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord at that moment, at that instance, shall be saved. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. We thank you that you have revealed to us beyond the shadow of a doubt exactly who Jesus, the Son of God, is. Virgin born, resurrected, eternal Savior. I pray, God, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, that they would not leave this place, but they would come to this altar and let somebody take the Bible. And by showing them what the Bible says, allow you to speak to them about salvation. If there's those here that are saved, have been blinded, and are living lives of sin or rebellion, God, help them to come back to you today. Do a work in our midst that only you can do. Speak to each one as we have need to be spoken to right now. In Jesus' name.